Thank you. during the new rest and yeah, so Church, there will be a joint voters meeting. No? This next, that's what I said. Okay. So, after church at Zion, there will be a voters meeting between the two congregations. Well, we are in the season of I was in the three-year series, we call it pre-lit. But the one-year series, let's see, what's it called? Septuagesima. And so we start our journey towards the cross. Let us begin singing our first hymn, After the Ringing of the Bell. Beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest. God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. The cords of Sheol entangled me.
The snares of death confronted me.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord.
From his temple, he heard my voice.
I love you, O Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer.
For you save a humble people.
But the haughty eyes you bring down.
You have equipped me with strength.
And made my way blameless.
For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations.
And sing to your name.
The cords of Sheol entangled me.
The snares of death confronted me.
My distress I called upon the Lord.
From his temple he heard my voice.
Thank you.
Lord. Graciously hear the prayers of your people, that we who justly suffer the consequence of our sins may be mercifully delivered by your goodness to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Reading on the sacrament of holy baptism, the power of baptism. How can water do such great things?
It is not the water he gives us, but the word of God which is in him with water, and faith which trusts such words of God and water. For without the word of God, the water is simple water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism, that is a gracious word of life, and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Ghost. As St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the faithful saying.
The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is from the 17th chapter of Exodus, beginning with the first verse. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" The people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with our gradual. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. Those who know your name put their trust in you.
For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Arise, O Lord.
Let thy hand prevail.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise and continue with the tract. Out of the depths,
I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities,
O Lord, who would stand?
For with you there is forgiveness,
and that you may be feared.
The gospel is written in the 20th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' And he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen.' Here endeth the gospel reading." We will confess the Apostles' Creed today. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Thank you.
Thank you.
And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. And they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, the last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what I own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a master paying those who work 12 hours a day in his vineyard, the same as those who worked an hour. Now, it's obvious that the payment did not depend upon the work. Otherwise, the payment would have varied with the number of hours each labored. Rather, the payment is based upon the generosity of the master. This parable teaches you that the kingdom of heaven is not like any place of employment you know here upon earth, whether it is a vineyard or in an office building. Nevertheless, your Lord teaches you today that the kingdom of heaven, one is saved by grace. Dear saints in Christ, the consistent teaching throughout all of Scripture is that sinners are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And these three, grace, faith, and Jesus, must not be separated. To be saved by grace means to be saved apart from your work. Holy Scripture says in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 3rd chapter, that all are justified by God's grace as a gift. And then later on in chapter 11, Scripture declares what it means by grace by saying, but it is by grace. It is no longer a basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. You see, grace excludes works. If you are saved by grace, then you are not saved by your work. Otherwise, grace would stop being grace. Grace is completely a gift from God. Grace is God's undeserved love for you. Once you deserve enters the equation, grace ceases to be grace. The workers received their denarius independent of how much they worked. They received it by grace. So too do you receive by grace alone. If you receive salvation by grace, then you must receive salvation through faith. Again, Holy Scripture says that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace. This is because faith is not your work. Faith is a gift from God. St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Faith is given to you by God by the power of the Holy Ghost, who works through the gospel. Many people think that faith is some sort of work that you do. that makes you a better person. But that is simply not the case. Faith is simply believing and trusting in the promise of God to forgive your sins for the sake of Christ. Faith is not your work. Holy Scripture constantly opposes faith in works. Again, his letter to the Romans, it states, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." And again, in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, it says, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." And in his letter to the Galatians, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified." To be saved by grace means to be saved apart from your works. This means to be saved by grace, you need to be saved through faith. If you are saved through faith, you are not saved by your works. You see, grace and faith are inextricably joined together. Just as salvation by grace through faith is without doubt separated from your works. Yet, there is another detail that must be included. Otherwise, both grace and faith fall apart. And that detail is Jesus Christ. Faith in yourself does not save you. Faith in the American dream does not save you. Faith in your faith does not save you. Rather, only faith in Jesus Christ saves. This is because only Jesus has won for you eternal life. Only Jesus is God, who became man by being conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. Only Jesus fulfilled the whole law and withstood every temptation of Satan. Only Jesus went to the cross, laden with the sins of the whole world, and died for all sins. Only Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, and later ascended to the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. Only Jesus has done this for you. Only Jesus has the gift of eternal life. So there is no grace apart from Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And faith in anyone else is simply a false faith. And because Jesus has done all these things necessary to save you, you can only be saved by grace. Grace excludes your work because Jesus has done all the work for you. And because Jesus has done your works, has made your works unnecessary by himself, completing the work of salvation for you, all then that is left for you is to believe on him. As Jesus himself says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Saints in Christ, this is why everyone in the kingdom of heaven gets paid the same. Grace makes everyone equal. Grace gives everyone the same faith. True faith centers on the same person and work, Jesus Christ. The Jesus you trust in is not greater or worse than the Jesus I trust in.
because he is the same Jesus. Your baptism is not greater than the baptism of the person sitting next to you, because there is only one baptism. It doesn't matter how long you have been a member of the church, how you have labored, how you have all received by grace. You all received Jesus through faith. And just as in Jesus' parable, people grumble against this. You can understand why someone would get upset if he worked 12 hours laboring in the blistering sun, forming calluses and on his fingers and cuts and on his hands and feet. Those who only worked 1 hour got paid the same. Well, there is a similar envy developed among the Jewish Christians in the early Christian church. You see, they had to be circumcised on the eighth day. They needed to offer sacrifices over and over and over again, traveling to Jerusalem year after year. They observed the law. Don't eat this. Don't touch that. And then these Greeks and Romans were welcomed into the church and given the inheritance of Abraham, their father, without circumcision or refraining from any foods or attending a Passover. The apostles struggled with the task of showing the Jewish Christians that they should rejoice that God welcomes the Gentiles into his heavenly kingdom. And you know, such struggles still happen today. Resentment among Christians. Pride. Christians thinking that they are better than other Christians because they have been Christians longer, because they're more faithful, because they work harder, because they volunteer more, because they have greater knowledge. Yet what does Jesus teach you about labor in his church? What should you say when you have finished your work? Jesus says, "So you also, when you have all done that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" You see, there is indeed a great danger in focusing upon your own works and accomplishments and then comparing it with others. There is a danger in desiring to be rewarded for your own works. There's a greater reward that you can receive than what you receive by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives you eternal life in the kingdom of God as a free gift. Nevertheless, if you, like those grumblers in the parable, would rather be paid according to your own works, what reward can you expect? Scripture warns, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." If you work to be saved by your own works, instead of by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you will fail. Again, Scripture is crystal clear, for it says, "For the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Yes, indeed, the law does show your sin. When you seek to get a better reward based upon your works, you do not get a better reward, but rather, you get your just reward, which is punishment, because you're sinners. Again, Scripture says, "The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." So let Jesus' parable be a warning to you not to try to get a better reward by your own works. You can only receive heaven by grace, as a gift of God through faith in Jesus. You're all sinners. You all deserve hell. and you're not better than the sinners you despise. You all need God's grace as much as they do. So do not despise those whom you think are less worthy of God's grace than you. Rather, rejoice that God is so gracious to forgive even your worst sins through his Son and through his Son's blood. Dear saints in Christ, the vineyard is the church of God. Those who spend their lives in the vineyard should not be resentful of those who come late. It's not like those who were outside the vineyard standing idle in the marketplace enjoying their life any more than those who labored in the vineyard. Those who labored in the vineyard had the promise from the master that they would be paid a generous wage, while those who stood aimlessly in the marketplace feared that their family would go hungry. Those outside the Christian church do not have it better than those inside the church. Those outside the Christian church are in a very dangerous situation. They have no certainty of eternal life. It is much better to labor in the vineyard, to do the work of a Christian, with a certain knowledge of your heavenly inheritance. The work you do as Christians is not difficult. You do not labor in order to earn salvation. You labor as those who already know your salvation is secure. Your labor is a labor of love. God so loved you, so you love one another. So then, as you labor cheerfully, and you thank God for every soul your master brings in, who will receive the same reward of everlasting life as you will. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen. Peace.
people according to their needs. Master of the vineyard, look kindly upon your church as she gathers around word and sacrament, that she would faithfully listen to Jesus and bear spiritual fruit 100-fold. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, send forth faithful laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent. Keep your whole church mindful at all times of the gracious favor you have bestowed upon us in the Beloved, that we may serve you with faithful labor in our vocations, especially as hearers of your saving word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, you call us by grace to work and live in your kingdom, not as slaves, but as sons of the Most High and brothers of Christ. Work graciously through the teaching and example of fathers and mothers to preserve the faith of children and help them grow in Christ until life's end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, you have established all authorities upon the earth. Bless all public servants, especially our president and our governor, that they would fulfill their offices with wisdom and compassion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, graciously regard all for whom we pray, especially Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Micah, Lincoln, Eric, Rachel, Deanna, Valerie, Brianna, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Mary, Vicar Langton and his family, and the Leslie family. Give them contentment to take what you send them and go their way confident that whatever is right, you will give them, since you work all things together for good of those called according to your purpose. By the gracious gift of Christ, relieve them of their sorrows. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, bless all who eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, that through their participation in the sacrament of the altar, they would receive forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Master of the vineyard, you have called us by grace into the labor of your vineyard. Give us strength to labor well, sanctified by your holy word and spirit, and mindful of the coming evening of this world, when you will return to reward those who serve in your church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray. Grant that we would look to you for every blessing and to your Son for our salvation. Deliver us from all adversity and preserve us in faith until the last. To you alone be all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the communion hymn. that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send us unto thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
take, eat. This is the true body of Christ. He went to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ. He went to death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ. He went to death for your sin. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you back to your place. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. And by this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord. Amen. Body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Take a drink, true blood of Christ. Shed for remission of all your sins. Thank you. Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. For the peace of the Lord. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin.
Thank you.
of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in body and soul to life everlasting. Come in peace, serve the Lord. This true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace, serve the Lord. Thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
And with thy spirit.
bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I pray that everyone has a blessed day in God's grace. And before we go downstairs, I'm going to remember this time. Let's say the common table prayer and return thanks.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.